Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are here once again, my friend. This is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati, and you are listening to The Voices of New Africa, the show that is dedicated to the liberation of New African people. And as always, I am going to be joined today by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. Planned for the show today is the one and only Brother Kakayi. Of course, we're going to have my sister, Saanksa, our master teacher for Dali. And we're going to have, who else? Somebody I missed? I know it's somebody I missed. Of course, Sister Ayodele, another one of our master teachers. So we're going to have an interesting show, a great topic as always. And I see my guest, my in-studio guests are already lining up. But today, as every week, we want to highlight a person, an organization, or an event that is significant in the struggle for independence, the struggle for liberation for African people. You know, we don't just acknowledge African history during African History Month. We do it 365 days a year. And today, we want to honor, we want to celebrate the mighty Black Panther Party. See, the Black Panther Party, which was a Black nationalist revolutionary organization, which was heavily influenced by the teachings and philosophies of Malcolm X. It was created, it was founded in 1966 by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale in response to all of the killings and the murders of African people by the police department and the system of white supremacy in general. The great thing about the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is they didn't simply sit back and complain about the problems of our people. They took concrete steps and created concrete programs that address the problems of our people. In response to the killings of police, of African people by police, they took up arms. They armed themselves, and they patrolled the police. They monitored the police. Whenever an African person was stopped by the police, the Black Panther parties, armed with guns, with rifles, with shotguns, would patrol, would monitor them, and make sure that nothing happened to our people, that they were treated fairly, and the encounter ended safely. The Black Panther Party did not simply complain about poverty. They didn't simply complain about the lack of health care. They didn't go protest and beg white people to say, hey, can you solve our problems? Can you stop killing us? Can you give us some health care? Can you help us? No, they took it into their own hands, and they created poverty programs. They created free breakfast programs. They created clothing programs. They created free clinic programs. Many of these social programs in which they created, they started, were later on picked up by the United States government, even though the United States government will never give them credit for that. I had the pleasure and the honor of actually working on a project with one of the original six members of the Black Panther Party, a brother by the name of Elbert Big Man Howard. You can look him up. You can Google him. I think the project in which we did Big Man, which was a documentary on the Black Panther Party, I think it's still available online. So I had the honor of working with him, and he gave me firsthand information about how they would go out into the community, find out, talk to the people, find out what are the problems that the people have. And they would get together and they would meet and they would find out what is feasible. How could we address this problem? not protest, in a course, because they were so successful and so popular within the African community, and they were militant, and they were not trying to integrate, and they were trying to do for self. They came under the attack by the United States government, under the attack of the counterintelligence program headed by J. Edgar Hoover, which he stated that the Black Panther Party was the biggest internal threat to the United States. And eventually it became open season on the Black Panther Party and its members. Many of them were murdered. Many of them were imprisoned. So on this day, we want to honor, we want to uphold, we want to celebrate the mighty, the awesome, the great Black Panther Party. And I give you a big free the land on that, brothers and sisters, which leads us back to the show. So today on our show, we want to talk about voting. Since this is an election year, since this is, time where everybody's talking about the election and who's going to run for president. Do you want Bernie Sanders? Do you want Hillary Clinton? A lot of attention is focused on Donald Trump. But the question that I want to pose is voting really a solution to the problems of our people? Is that really going to solve the problem that our people face? You know, we suffer through racism, white supremacy. We suffer through crime, poverty, lack of health care. We all know the problem. So is voting a real solution? Because that's the first thing that they tell us to do. They said if you really want to affect change, you need to go out and vote. You need to get registered. You need to go vote. And I can remember 8 years ago when everybody was excited over this brother by the name of Barack Obama. They portrayed him as the savior of African people. And people voted in record numbers to support the brother because they said that he was the manifestation of the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King. And 8 years later, you find African people are in worse shape now than we were before the brother got elected. So is voting a solution? Is voting a real solution to the problems of our people? I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to talk to my brother. Hold on. I'm getting a lot of background noise. Let me see if I can address that. And to all our callers, I would like to just encourage you to, you know, kind of watch your background noise, because a lot of times it comes through the air, comes through online. But let me get back to the callers. Do I have Sister Sa'anxa on the line?
Yes. Free the land.
Sister Sa'anxa, free the land. I am, I will. So, Sister Sa'anxa, what do you think? Is voting a real solution to the problems of our people?
Voting is most definitely not a solution to the problems of our people. Voting is just a bunch of propaganda that this empire, this government, the media, which is ran by the empire and the government, puts on the people to make them feel apart. There's no way that a people that are subjugated to and are subjects of an empire that manipulates, controls the minds, hearts, spirits, daily lives of a people for their benefit is going to allow the people to change the status quo. That makes no sense. That's voting is most definitely not a solution to our problem. It's just something to feed us to make it seem as though we're apart, but we're not apart, because even, and they teach you this in school. We don't select the president. Electoral colleges select the president. And electoral colleges are created by corporations, big corporations that run this United States. So it's a big hoax. Voting is a hoax.
Jesus, exactly. And I'm glad you brought up that. That was an excellent point because, see, we don't have, well, I won't say we, but there is not a democracy in the United States. This is not a democracy. It's called, officially, it's called a representative democracy. So as you said, people who participate in the voting process, especially for president, you're not electing the president. You're electing the electoral college. And just like if your particular state is a Republican state and you vote Democrat in your state, win, and the Republicans win your state, then your vote didn't count anyway. Your vote didn't even go to pick the electoral college. So, excellent point. And the other thing that I really want to piggyback on that you said is the fact that voting is a game in which it allows people to believe that they're actually part of the system. Because I can remember back before Barack Obama was elected, back during the Bush era, and how things were, and how, you know, one thing that I really like about Bush is because he made the contradictions of this imperialistic, capitalistic, colonialistic society apparent, obvious, crystal clear. He was really good at that. We knew clearly that we lived in a system that was founded on white supremacy and that this U.S. police state was bent on controlling the world. We understood that. And it created a sort of revolutionary energy amongst the people, where the people were on verge of revolting, of actually creating some actions that could actually bring down and change the system. And magically, out of nowhere, you have the guy by the name of Barack Obama, who looks different, who sounds different, who talks different. People say that, oh, he's a socialist. And all of these things that we want to hear, people who would otherwise be ready to really change this system. Well, all of that energy that could have potentially brought down this system of white supremacy was transformed to a vote. And people really felt that, oh, we've really done something now. We've really made a move toward change. And that's just not the case, because politicians are not put in power to change the system. Politicians are put in power to maintain the system. And that is exactly what he has done, whether you like the brother personally or not. You know, a lot of times in elections in the United States, people not focus on an individual's policy. They're focused on the individual's personality. And that's the case, and that's still the case. But I want to continue with our perspective. Do I have my sister Ayodele on the line? Sister Ayodele, are you there?
Yes.
Be the land. I am, I will. So, what do you think? Is voting a real solution to the problems of our people?
In its present state, the way we are trying to vote in a so-called democratic manner, it is not. First of all, let's look at it historically. We had to be considered citizens as the descendants of enslaved Africans. We had to be written into the law, the men written into the law, of course, first. Then we had to be given our voting rights. And even then, when the voting rights was awarded to us, of course, there was a lot of problems. People tried to make it so that we could not vote. And if we're asking ourselves, in a democratic process, many of us in our various cities and townships, we are a majority, but we don't understand what we are voting for. What are we trying to do? We should be voting for people who represent the will of the people. And the will of the people oftentimes is not in harmony with what we call policy, public policy, state policy, governmental policies. And so if we are voting, we're really not voting for much, because if we do find people who look like they are the descendants of African slaves, and we put them in positions, they're just the black face of the same white supremacist, racist, neocolonial, imperialistic system. They're there to serve the people, and if the people's will say that we don't like this, we feel that it's unfair, we feel that it needs to be changed, they should be reflecting their constituencies. And oftentimes that doesn't happen. Look at the black political caucus that's supposed to be in the Congress representing our needs. They have been basically ineffective. They have not effected change for a group of people who have been in this country for almost 500 years, that came in chains, and that have certain compensations due to them. They have effected no change. So does voting work? Basically, no. It does not.
Well said, well said. And what I want to pick up on is when you talk about politicians, how they may look like an African person, you know, maybe from the community of African people, most of them are not. But really, when you look at the setup of these people who look like us in power, in political power, what you're actually seeing is what's called neo-colonialism. We are a neo-colonized, subjugated nation in North America, because neo-colonialism is simply white power with a black face. And white supremacy is at its most effective, I believe, when it comes wrapped up in the package of an African person. I agree, and we have to understand class struggle and how the system of capitalism creates class struggle, and the particular the politicians in which we see belong to the national black bourgeoisie. These are people who are paid by the ruling elite in order to lead our people away from anything that is really going to bring about a true benefit for the people and will help maintain and upheld the power structure, upheld the system of colonialism, of imperialism, of capitalism, of white supremacy. So well said, my sister. Do I have my brother Kakaye online? I don't see him there. But is my brother Kakaye there? Okay, maybe not missing my brother, but I do see one of our master teachers, Brother Fadali. Brother Fadali, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Free the land, brother.
I would say free the land. I am, I will.
Yes,
you cannot vote in revolution. So therefore, we talk about American democracy, which is American hypocrisy. There's no place for real change to take place through any kind of voting process. Even reforms are empty reforms, because you have a so-called two-party system, in which at one point in time we were Republicans, and the Republicans didn't do anything for us, and in this time we are Democrats, and the Democrats has not done anything for us, and we have that's why that who are revolutionary, who say that we must have our own nation. The five states, the Republic of New Africa, where we renounce any loyalty to this system that is oppressing us and oppressing the world, this American empire. And we got to understand that. And if you are voting in the American system, you're voting for imperialism, for neocolonialism, for colonialism, for all capitalism, for all of those things that are exploiting our people. And you can look at the system and you can see, you know, that you don't have health care for the mass of people in America. You don't have true education for the mass of people in America, not even white people. And that you don't have anything that pertains to anything in relationship to power for African people and for other non-white people. And you have white privilege at the center of white supremacy and white supremacy created white privilege for whites to have a certain level of privilege no matter what their class. And so, therefore, there can be no solution in voting. We did not die just for the right to vote. We died, we thought, for freedom. We wanted to have freedom. We wanted to have liberation. And when you talk about the Black Panther Party and how it stood up, you know, in America and tried to even get to the so-called Constitution in terms of the constitutional right to bear arms, but we see that they stripped that from us, you know, with the emergence of the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And we see that in the earlier periods, they disarmed the whole African population, and we were subject to lynching and subject to all kinds of injustices in the system. And so, therefore, what are we voting for? What is the reason why we would be voting? And I think somebody eloquently said that these people that we vote for are put in position, but they are doing nothing for us because they are subservient to those forces outside of our community who have money. And you're in a capitalist system where the super rich, the rich and the super rich rule, and the only democracy in America is for the super rich. And we can see it on all levels, on the local level, on the, you know, regional level, and the national and the international level, and where we are being oppressed and exploited throughout the world. African people have taken on the onslaught of this so-called American democracy through drone warfare in Somalia and other places in Africa, through all kinds of overthrow of governments, like the government of Haiti, when George Bush kidnapped John Astori and his wife in 2004 on the pretense that somebody was trying to attack him and dropped him off in Central Africa, which was a French colony, French neo-colony. And so once we begin to understand that, we'll see that voting was not the solution. We were misled in the so-called civil rights movement into thinking that once we had the right to vote, then everything else would change. All things would be possible. And so then we got the President of the United States, and that's a black man, you know, who was eloquent, who could, you know, even pretend like he was a Martin Luther King, you know, leading our people into the voting thing where 97% of our people voted for more than any other president except, I think, Lyndon Johnson. We went through the same trick there. And it's a tricknology, and we've got to understand that voting will not liberate us. We have to begin to understand that we shouldn't even want to be a part of this American empire, that we should have our own five states in which we inherited from years of chattel slavery. And then when we have our own system, we set up our own system, voting would count, because then we would have power over our own lives. And this is what we must understand.
Exactly. Well said, brother. Well said. It's always, you know, I think we have Sister April on the line. I don't know if she wanted to speak or anything, but I'm putting her on the spot. Sister April, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Free the land, sister. So, do you have any comments? Yes, ma'am. Do you have any comments on?
Yeah, I pretty much did everything that I was thinking to say, but you are correct. Voting is not for us. It never was. We tried to bring about change so that we would have a voice, but we still, our votes still don't count. So. What everybody has said is right, and Fidali was absolutely right. You can't vote when it's a revolution. So yeah, free the land.
Exactly. I will. Yes, revolution is definitely not on the ballot for the 2016 campaign season. I want to acknowledge someone else we have on the line. It's a number that I do not recognize. There is a 331 number. Are you there? Caller from 333-901-333. I don't want to put your whole number out there. I mean, 331?
That's me. I'm here.
Yes, sir. Andre.
My name
okay.
is Andre. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
Somebody
all right.
Somebody just gave me this number. Maybe somebody just gave me this number like literally 15 minutes ago. Told me to
okay.
listen. And my
okay.
take on it, voting and all that is the illusion of inclusion. Like y'all saying,
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't want to participate in the U.S. democracy. We are the Americans. That's the U.S. corporation, and they're voting, giving you they prostrating themselves on TV, giving you the illusion of inclusion. And it's like the Wizard of Oz is saying, they on TV acting like they are the power, but you live in a republic, and the republic is the house that no one stays in. You pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which the flag is standing in. We are the republic. The people are the keepers of the republic. Not no government. They're governing your mentals. They have nothing to do with you, but you're giving them the power. And not to disrespect your show or anything, because I love the unity that we're gaining with all these blog talks, but we shouldn't sit up and talk about them all the time. Like the gentleman before me said, we should be doing our own thing. We should be going in our communities. We should have our own commercial avenues in which we distribute all our products out. We're not in a commerce game. We don't understand the commercial game that we're in. It's a monopoly game, and we don't have any pieces on the board because we're looking for somebody to do something for us. When we have all the power, all industry, everything is governed off us. I was in the military, and I was stationed overseas in Japan. Everybody is trying to do what the American is doing because they're promoting us with rap music, movies, and everything. We have the power. We have to take it back. We have to stop looking at the TV and stop worrying about Trump because they just acting. That's an act, and it's an entertainment. And they're entertaining us. We have all the power right in our hands. We just have to harness it.
Okay. Interesting comment. I want to thank you for your comment, brother. Thank you for tuning in to our station. You wanted to respond to that, Brother Fadali?
Yes, I want to say that we don't have power. We got to seize power. We don't have the power of commerce because we do not have a nation that is representing us. Even when we talk about black people in the world, that the neo-colonial forces who are, you know, being tele-guided by the white supremacists are ruling all our resources. Now, nobody who understands power don't understand that power comes from the barrel of a gun. And until we understand that, in other words, where we are able to have power over our own lives and we have our own territory and we control our resources, we do all the things that would be necessary in this global so-called economy, we have to overthrow capitalism and institute our system of economics and all that. And even though, you know, that all these other nations are want to be like America, they want to continue the capitalist system. And so we're not for capitalism in any form, whether it's Japanese or whatever it is. And so therefore, we must begin to understand that we have to seize control of our territory, wherever we live, in a space where we are occupying, so that we'll be able to do those things that will be necessary. But it cannot be done in this era of global capitalism and white supremacy. It would not be done until we overthrow that, until we understand that we have to have our own militias in our own communities to control our community and take over the land spaces and everything that we have to do. It's concrete. It's not an abstract discussion, you know. And so revolution says you have to overthrow something. And the capitalist system, the imperialist system, the neo-colonial system must be overthrown in order for us to be able to exercise any kind of power. So voting is abstract because we don't have power, and the people that we have pretended to represent us are merely accomplices to our condition. And so we got to begin to understand that as a people, that wherever we live on earth, we must control those spaces that we inhabit so that we can take control over our own lives. We do not have that right now, and we must understand that. And voting in any so-called the imperialist countries, whether it's the United States or Britain or France, where we have populations of African We do not have any power. We do not have any respect. Our lives do not matter because we don't have any power. It's only when we have power that that our lives would matter. We must understand that. Historically, we must understand it and see it for what it is. And so, therefore, the voting is an empty exercise, and we have to win the minds of our people so they can begin to understand that. And so until we do that, then we're in shit creek, as they would say.
No doubt, brother. No doubt. No doubt. And I think one of the biggest problems that our people have is we have a fundamental misunderstanding about what capitalism is. See, we think that the problem of our the solution to our problems is simply becoming black capitalists. Now, I agree that yes, we definitely need to focus on ourselves. We have to focus on ourselves, but focusing on ourselves meaning that we have to establish what you said we lack, which is control. We have to control the resources. We have to control the systems, the political systems, the educational systems, the financial systems, the economic systems. We have to control the land. Because the foundation of freedom is land. If you don't have control over land, and I'm not talking about purchasing some land from the United States, which you don't control anyway because they can take it back at any time if you don't pay your taxes, you know. But these are the things that we have to struggle for, concrete things that gives us control over the very lives, our very lives. We have to struggle for independence, land, self-government, and socialist revolution because, like I said, I think we have a fundamental misunderstanding about the system of capitalism because a lot of our people think that we can solve the problem by becoming good capitalists. But the reality of it is that capitalism is an economic system that is not designed to make sure that everybody's okay. It's not designed to make sure that everybody has the resources in which we need to survive. It is designed to gain maximum profit for the super rich. That bourgeoisie class. And if we gain the control in which we desperately need, and we continue within this system of capitalism, then the only thing that we're going to do is we're going to replace the white slave owners with black ones, and we will become exploiters of our own people. So it's crucial that we not only understand that we have to have control over the very resources, that we have to struggle for nationhood, for sovereignty, for an independent black nation in which we control ourselves, but we have to understand that we have to completely replace this economic system that has been detrimental and devastating not only to our people, but people all over the planet. And back to the original topic of voting, because voting is not a solution. It is a game. It is something to make us believe that we are a part of a system that is built on our exploitation. It is something that tries to make us believe that we are actually having real progress, that we are actually uplifting the conditions, the collective conditions of our people, when in fact the only thing that we are doing is we are upholding the very systems that are oppressing us, that are exploiting us. And I think we are out of time. It's people that I wish I could have got to, that I didn't. I see my brother Kakayi just joined us. Brother Kakayi, before we leave, you got anything to say?
Yeah, brother, you free the land, brother. And I'm going to be quick about it because we've all mentioned and said everything that was definitely true about the system. If we put things in historical context, we begin to rely on our experience as a people to determine the correct solution to our problem. And if part of that experience, we will see that voting doesn't work. We will see that voting is what we call an answer for people who want to maintain this system to try to reform it so the masses of the people will see some adjustments that will help them to decide to uphold and maintain this system that is a capitalist system that's designed to exploit and oppress us. So if its goal is to oppress and exploit us as a people, not just here in the United States but worldwide, then reform, when you get to the definition of reform, it's not to overturn, overthrow, or change the system. It's only to re, which means do again, form the same system, so it's an adjustment made inside of the system to allow us to feel like there's something being done. But in actuality, the goals and objectives of capitalism remains in place, and all we're doing is helping to uphold it. We can no longer seek a solution to uphold a system and adjust it and tweak it a little bit to carry on its goals and objectives because it's not working for us. So voting doesn't work because it's a solution to reforming. We don't need reform. We need to overturn and overthrow this system. The only solution to this problem is revolution. And you and my fellow comrades have mentioned this time and time again, but as a people, if we don't take our historical experiences and use that as experiences in anything in life, if you continue to experience something and you expect a different result, then that's insanity. To do something over and over and over and over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result, that's insanity. We can no longer continue to do the same thing. We have to think outside of the box, and we have to utilize everything from a historical context so we can utilize our experience to make the right informed decision for ourselves as a people.
All right, brother, and we're going to end it right there before they cut us off the air. But I want to thank all of my guests, the special guests who were just calling in and listening in. Join us every week, every Sunday at 10 o'clock, as we will discuss topics that are relevant to the liberation of new African people. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati, and you have been listening to the Voices of New Africa, Free the Land.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence.